Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Borth back with you here on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We got a lot to get to today here on the show, continuing the Julio hoopla that we did yesterday. Back at it again here today, taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Fellas, how we doing? What's going on, Joe Rex Road?
No one cares how I'm doing. I want to hear how Ryan Porth's doing.
Doing fantastic ever since about 11 a.m. on Sunday.
I bet so.
What? Well, you're also coming off a wedding and a honeymoon. That should also
more
be
more importantly, the Titans have Julio Jones, Joe.
Well, okay. You're also on your honeymoon.
Yeah.
Sounded like it was all kind good of fun things. In Florida.
Everything great happened at once.
There you go.
And the Reds swept the Cardinals in a four-game series. I mean, life is just dandy right now.
Wow.
Fourth, we last Tuesday, recapped your wonderful wedding weekend. It was a fun time.
It was a great time.
Did you enjoy yourself at your wedding? How was St. Augustine, your trip with the missus? How's life been the last week or so?
The wedding was exactly what we wanted it to be 11 months ago when we initially had it all scheduled. And the honeymoon was fantastic. Some time on the beach, some time in the little quaint downtown area, if you want to call it that, of St. Augustine. Went on a haunted pub tour.
Oh, nice.
So I thought Joe would get some appreciation out of that.
Yeah, those are good.
Basically, some older gentlemen telling ghost stories of these different bars around St. Augustine.
That's cool. We had our ghost stories here on the show, too.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That's right.
Elijah.
Yeah.
People just turn his Xbox on all the time. Lots of ghost stories here lately. Well, welcome back, Porth. It's good to have you back.
Great to be back.
It was a great wedding, and you know, Katie Rexford still talks about, like, is there any way I can get like a few hours where I'm sitting right next to Jared Stillman again? Like she misses him.
Yeah. Wants to get back in that scenario right now.
She enjoyed it very much.
I'm sure she did.
She did. So Porth, your thoughts on Julio Jones to the Titans. Here we were. We were sitting here on Sunday. I got out of church. All of a sudden, it was all breaking loose on Twitter. Julio Jones becomes official on Sunday. We've been talking about it for weeks, the possibility of it. Now that it's happened, your reaction as a Titans fan to Julio Jones, I guess we're going to operate under the assumption that he's going to be number eight. Number eight.
Sure.
Coming to the Titans.
Number eight in your program, but number one in your hearts.
That's right.
That is official?
It's not official. But I'm operating under the assumption.
Okay. That's today, right? We find this out.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah. All right.
Are they going to have some big reveal?
Probably.
Is Marcus going to hand him the jersey?
Pass the baton.
Yes. Anyway, pour your thoughts on Julio Jones to the Titans.
Raise the banner.
Yeah.
Raise the banner. They're going to win a Super Bowl.
I like it.
Okay.
Pour's fired up.
I don't know if I'll go that far, but I am stoked. Whenever I think about the trade, a smile just comes across my face. I'm so happy as a Titans fan. I mean, you guys talked about it yesterday. How long have we wanted to see the Titans get at least just one good receiver? Forever. Ever since Derek Mason. And now they have two bona fide number one receivers. Love it.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about this yesterday, too, when we got done with the show. Think about the receivers they've gone through here. And at times, like, who the number one receivers have been. Like, no disrespect to Rishard Matthews, but like Rishard Matthews at one point was a number one receiver here.
For a good team with a pretty good offense.
Good team with a pretty good offense.
Justin Gage was the number one receiver on a 13-3 team in 08.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing to think about the teams that have come in and out of here, and they've had some really good teams, and we had some texters point this out yesterday. Like, it feels like they've always been pretty good. Pretty loaded at tight end. Whether you want to go back to Frank Wycheck or obviously with Delaney here as well. I mean, they've always been able to find a way to make the tight end position work for the most part. They've had such a hard time at finding wide receivers. And now, I mean, just and I heard all kinds of national people talking about this yesterday too. Like the idea of A.J. Brown on the left, Julio Jones on the right, Derrick Henry in the backfield. I mean, it's just, it's incredible to think about as a Titans fan, the star power that you've now got on this offense. And we'll see whether or not it could fully translate and people could stay healthy and all that. But this is, I think you said it yesterday, on paper, probably the most dangerous by far a Titans offense has ever been, maybe in the history of this franchise, when you throw the Oilers in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, every team has the – I mean, there's somebody on every team that's like, well, if they stay healthy, right?
Sure.
I mean, and really, that's just like – like we had – Michael Lombardi wrote a thing for us at The Athletic, and it was like, if. And it's like, well, that's true, but you really could do that for every team, couldn't you?
Yes.
No, I understand. Julio,
if Patrick Mahomes stays healthy.
Yeah, I mean, he had an injury last year.
Yep.
But I – look, if they're lining up like that, I don't think there's any – I don't think there's any doubt about it. Go back all through the Oilers. I mean, I love those Oilers teams with Warren Moon in the late 80s. They had some good receivers. They were okay at running back. They didn't have like a star running back. They were very good. The scheme, you know, was kind of ahead of its time a little bit, but I don't think there's any doubt about it. I'm trying to think, and I've been trying to think of similar trios like this in general in the NFL. Actually, I did come up with one, which you guys will be very excited about. The Detroit Lions of the mid-90s had Herman Moore, Brett Perryman, both 1,000-yard receivers, and then, of course, Barry Sanders in the backfield. And they were great with Scott Mitchell throwing to them.
Yeah.
And Scott Mitchell is not very good, but that team
a mighty team that will not yield.
There you go. Yes. Well, that tells you how good those guys were because they played for that franchise and they still were, like, winning the division and, you know – They should have made runs, but I can't think of many, you know, two receiver. You can there's a million, you know, great receiver, great back combos, great two receiver combos. Alvin Harper, Michael
one.
Irvin, and Emmitt is, but Alvin Harper was kind of, you know, he was deep threat. Well, go ahead.
Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, and Marshall Faulk.
Yeah. Exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah, no, for sure, and that was of course I think the difference with them. Is also schematically that was a little bit of ahead of its time. And I mean, Kurt Warner, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, there is that.
But yeah, that's a good. Now, I would argue that just the three, this is better if Julio Jones is Julio Jones.
Sure.
But that's what we're, I mean, that's the assumption we're operating under, right? I mean,
until proven otherwise. Yeah.
I mean, again, if he's what he was last year when he played, okay, so that's the Julio Jones we're talking about. You tell me. I think that these three are better than those three. Maybe not better at quarterback, maybe not schematically, but those three are better than these three. Or these three are better than those three. Yes?
I think it's close. I mean, look, Marshall Faulk and Derrick Henry are just so different, right?
Yeah, totally
different.
I mean,
they're totally different players. So, I mean, I guess you could go either way on that one, but it's close. Look, if you're in that conversation,
you're doing something right.
Pretty good spot. I mean, that's a pretty good place to be if you're the Titans at this point. And you're comparing yourselves to the greatest show on turf, basically, with the talent you're throwing out there.
Well, it's so different, too, because, again, Marshall Faulk, I mean, they were so hard to deal with because he was so good coming on the backfield, yep. Right? But you have these two guys and the battering ram. So it's so much more of a, are those safeties high or not?
Right. You know, like, just from a defensive standpoint, schematically, I think it's harder to prepare for this three with the Titans. Because even with Marshall Faulk, like, you weren't scared of Marshall Faulk, like, running through you, you know? You're scared of Derrick Henry running right over the top of you. So are you going 8 in the box and leaving you, you know, single coverage on the outside? Are you going 6 in the box to try to combat Julio and AJ and leaving Derrick Henry right up the middle? Like, it's – and we talked about it yesterday. This is a tough place to be schematically if you're a defense trying to defend against this offense. And look, we're going to talk a lot about the defense. I know that was very popular yesterday. Well, we still have to see what the defense looks like, and that's fine. But you put yourself offensively in a position where you should theoretically be in every game. Like, there's no reason this offense should not be every bit as good as they were last year. And you could argue with Julio Jones coming in there, you should be better than you were last year, which is a high bar, I know. But that's why you make a move like this, is to have that bar set where it is.
Right. And it's also, I think, schematically, but just think about wear and tear on a defense, you know. I mean, it's already, and that was already probably tougher with the two guys who were here already,
yeah,
in terms of just tackling them. But you know, Julio's no walk in the park either. So, yeah, it's I mean, look, I usually get to about late July, and it's like, all right, training camp, see what, you know, the new rookie looks like or yeah, whatever. But this is like, man, I can't wait to watch these practices.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about this yesterday. This is going to be, I think, by far the most anticipated training camp the Titans have ever had. Just based on, number one, I actually kind of miss preseason football last year. We didn't get to see it much. Now, I'm sure by the time the first game rolls around, I'll be like, okay, I didn't miss preseason football all that much. But with Julio Jones coming in and what this offense could look like, you're going to see, I think, some really excited Tennessee Titans fans this year once training camp rolls around.
That's a bold statement, though. The most anticipated training. What about what about the training camp after they made the Super Bowl? But I guess that's maybe the thing. Like you, but you knew what the team was.
Yeah.
Like you're excited for the season.
Sure.
But you weren't unwrapping something.
Exactly. Like just in.
I mean, like maybe like Vince Young's first camp.
Maybe.
Mariota's first camp. Locker's first camp. I don't know. I mean, I guess like the new first round high pick quarterback's first camp might
maybe
be. Yeah.
I probably put Vince Young ahead of the other two, but yeah.
Yeah.
People were fired up about Vince Young.
I mean, that's...
I mean, the last thing they saw of Vince Young was that USC game, and they were like, oh my goodness, yeah, we're getting the best football player of all time coming here.
Right, yeah, right. So that's probably.
It's probably up there.
It's probably right there. But this is going to be interesting. And there's so many new guys on the other side, which is, for people who are pointing that out, I mean, I agree. I mean, they have to be – that those defensive moves have to work for this to be
– sure.
For Porth to be hanging the banner, you know. But we'll get to see them try to deal with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown in camp.
That's right. So we're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on Julio Jones on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, where does this trio of Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and Julio Jones rank in the NFL with the weapons that are out there and are available? We'll talk about that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
There have been times where we've been smitten with the concept of triplets, but some teams, whether it be the Colts with Peyton Manning, the greatest show-offs on turf,
yeah,
it's not just quarterback, running back, receiver, it's quarterback, running back, two great receivers.
Exactly.
And now the Titans enter that group, and it doesn't happen very often.
No.
Where everything lines up just right, where you have great quarterback, great running back, great receivers, two of them. You got four guys that can create havoc, and it's going to be pick your poison. Every time we see that,
right,
it becomes a pick your poison proposition.
That was Mike Florio and Chris Sims on Pro Football Talk discussing the Titans offense, what they've now constructed with Julio Jones in the fold, the trio of Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and Julio Jones. And Joe, it's interesting there. You're comparing it to some pretty great offenses of the past with Peyton Manning and the Colts, with Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Edgerrin James as a part of that mix as well. We talked about the Rams in the last segment with Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, and Marshall Faulk. You start getting into that territory, that's a pretty high bar as an offense, but that's where the Titans have put themselves with A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, and Julio Jones now in the mix. That's one thing to look at the past and talk about, you know, the trios that we've seen in NFL history. Where does this trio right now stack up in today's NFL when it comes to weapons around the league? Do the Titans clearly have the best trio when it comes to Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry as weapons for quarterbacks to get the ball to?
I mean, you go through the league and, like, there's obviously a ton of great duos, you know, like,
yep.
I'm still looking at New Orleans, Kamara, Thomas, and then throw whoever in there, you know, if Michael Thomas is healthy. I mean, the Cowboys have Zeke, Amari Cooper, and friends, but it's hard to find. I mean, the only two trios that I would match up with this personally, I definitely look at the Browns, because if you have Beckham with Landry, with Chubb.
Yep.
That's very good. And then you look at the Chiefs, and it's like, okay, I mean, I'm counting Kelce in this as a as the other pass sure. catcher with Tyreek Hill, and then sure Edwards-Helaire, Le'Veon, yeah. whatever. I mean, whoever's at running back in that offense will be just fine, do well. But I mean, I think Edwards-Helaire is very good.
Yeah.
So those are the two teams where I look at a trio. I mean, I don't like I can't find any way. You tell me if I'm missing something here. I mean, there's a lot of teams where you find two. You find the back and the receiver, or you find two receivers. I can't. Those are the only two that come to mind with legit, you know, all three spots where you really you scare defenses.
No, that's those were the two that came to mind for me as well. Like, you start looking around the rest of the league. I mean, let's think about the best teams from last year, the Bills. I mean, you've got Diggs, but they're trying to figure out things outside of that. John Brown's not there anymore. He's with the Raiders now. So
I mean, ATN is coming
ATN's
in.
ATN's coming in with, yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those.
Oh, no, ATN's
he's with the Jags.
Yeah. Wait, who did the Bills? The Bills picked up a running back, though. That I got that mixed up.
It wasn't Najee Harris either because he's in Pittsburgh. I have to think about it. Okay. But either way, it's not. I mean, the Bills don't have a trio like that at this point.
Right.
I mean, the Packers in the NFC title game last year, you've got Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, but there's not a third to go along with that that's like the Titans have right now.
I think you're just going to diss your man Funyan like that.
I do like Robert Tonyan, but I would not put him in that
Funyan.
Would not put him in that same category yet this moment. Maybe he'll do that at some point this year, but also see who's going to be throwing him the ball this year. See what happens.
Yeah, that might matter.
On that front as well. But I think the Titans, I think it's clear. Like, if Julio Jones is Julio Jones, and as you said last segment, that's what we're operating under the assumption that he's going to be. Like, I think the Titans clearly had the best trio because of how much stress it puts on the defense. And look, I know we talked about this yesterday with the national response to this too, but also you add Tannehill into the mix too, and that four becomes pretty lethal at that point.
Well, but that's where you'll see dissent, right?
I agree.
That's where you'll see disagreement. You know, beyond the whole, like, how could you give up a second-round pick, you know? You can't possibly imagine, like, dipping in 2023 or 2024. Like, how could you, you know? But beyond that, the Tannehill discussion is where some people, and it really is kind of like it's a real test of, like, do you watch football or not?
A lot of the answer is no, apparently. Yeah,
apparently not.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Steven on the text line says, I keep thinking of one of my favorite GM quotes in regards to trying to stop the pass or the run. Quote, do you want to drown in the Atlantic or drown in the Pacific? This coming from Steven. That certainly looks like what the Titans offense is presenting to opposing defenses on paper as we head into camp coming up here in a few weeks.
That was morbid, Steven. By the way, Bills didn't draft a running back, so never mind.
There you go.
I have no idea. Why did I think they – I guess maybe I just expected that they would, but they didn't. They did draft –
So they are not in this trio conversation.
Just like the Titans drafted a tight end.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Yeah. Did the Bills draft a tight end? No, they drafted a receiver, though.
Well, maybe they'll be in the trio with the new receiver. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, John, I mean, they're still – I mean, you know, but seriously, on the contender front, I mean, I still consider the Bills
– Sure.
Because Diggs, I mean, he was one of the real breakout great moves of last year, and he and Josh Allen have a great thing together. But is there enough around Josh Allen? You know, their defense, though, I think should be pretty good this year.
Yeah.
They're a pretty balanced team. They look like a more balanced team than the Titans. And, of course, they got Rousseau in the first round. And, you know, that guy could be really good.
So, with that in mind, I mean, we talked about yesterday the kind of the tier of the league and the AFC with Kansas City still being in the top spot. Is it just a two-team race for the kind of that second tier between the Titans and the Bills, in your opinion? Or is there another team? You brought up the Browns. And the trio that they could have with Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., Nick Chubb in the backfield as well. We know they've spent some money on defense this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
As well with our boy Jadeveon Clowney coming in there. Are they close to that mix as well? How do you kind of separate what we see right now in the AFC in terms of who are contenders and who are not in the AFC?
Yeah. Look, I think the Browns could be right there. And I'm not saying that because they got Clowney. Although some of my Browns fans, friends, man, they're
fired like, up.
Calm down, guys. Calm down. It's Clowney. maybe it'll work out for you. It's possible. They've got to be right there to me. You know, and like I said, I mean, I might put the – yesterday I said, like, Titans, Bills, and this might be a daily thing that changes. And then those next three, which would be, you know, Colts, Ravens, Browns. But I don't know. Maybe Ravens and Colts would be a third tier for me, and I would have Browns, Bills, Titans on the second tier.
By the way, a lot of Colts fans still not convinced that the Julio Jones move from the Titans puts them over the top in Indy.
Well, that's what they should be.
Well, I know it's Colts fans, but a lot of national people I've seen still saying, "All right, well now the Titans are right there with the Colts," and I'm like, "Am I missing something here?" Maybe people just love Carson Wentz.
Some do. I mean, Carson Wentz has got to be one of the most like disagreed upon players going into this year.
I agree,
right?
Yeah,
because there are people who are like, "Oh yeah, that dude is going to be just like he was." And then there's some people like, have you watched him the last couple of years? Like, he's not that guy anymore. I mean, look, if he is, then I still think we've got a heck of a race ahead of us, even with this addition for the Titans. But I think the truth is probably somewhere in between there. And if that's the case, to me, the Titans are the clear favorite. That's how I expect Carson Wentz to be somewhere in between the very polar opposites of what people expect from him. And if that's the case, I think the Titans should win the AFC South by a game or two.
Well, I just keep going back to who's he going to throw the ball to. I mean, and that's why I thought that Indy could really be a player here with Julio Jones, because you look at that offense, I think you look at the roster, and there are a lot of good things that you like about Indy and their roster. And even with the loss on the offensive line, like, you still feel good about the line. I mean, there's a lot of things to like about the Colts, but I keep going back to, like, who's Carson Wentz going to throw the ball to? That's that guy that just puts fear into the defense. I don't think they really have one. That's why I thought that they would maybe be a pretty serious player for Julio Jones. And for him to end up here and not in Indianapolis, number one, obviously, that's a massive win if you're the Titans. Not only to have him on your team, but to not have him in Indy. I thought for that reason, with the cap space they have as well, that Indianapolis could be a pretty logical destination for Julio Jones.
Yeah, well, I would have thought so too, but based on all the reporting on this, they weren't really in this.
Yeah.
I mean, you had like the whole NFC West was taking swings at this, and you know, the Ravens, of course, were a team that was talked about quite a bit, but I never heard anything on the Colts. It's interesting. They have space too. So what does that tell you? I mean, look, Chris Ballard has been very eager to dump out of the first round and to have a lot of cap space. Now, if I'm a Colts fan, at some point I'm like, are we going for it? You know, I mean, I would think that, but you know, it is possible. You're right; they don't have anyone yet who has emerged as a great player, and obviously,
I mean, look, Pittman Jr. is good.
I think he's going to be good. Yes, I think Pittman has a chance to be very good. You know, Paris Campbell. I mean, I think there's where some of that hope is that he can take a big step. So some of that maybe just how they feel about some of those guys they got. I tell you, the guy they got coming in, Tariq Black, I think, is very talented. But, you know, it's a we'll see on that situation. But I'm a little surprised that they didn't get into this at all. And, I mean, if I'm a Colts fan, I don't love how things have developed. I at least wanted him to go somewhere else rather than be in my division and now us have to face him twice. Because it's just, look, you can't, you know, you don't want to overthink this. Every single week, and I think there's been a lot of this reaction the last couple of days. I mean, this is one of the worst weeks for a DC next year just because, like, you don't see three guys like this very often in a given week.
No, you're exactly right. And that's why if I'm the Colts, I saw a lot of reaction from Colts fans on Sunday. Like, who cares? that Titans defense is still no good. Whatever. We'll stop Julio Jones and they'll still go win the division. Like, oh, okay. We'll see what happens on that front. Joe from Maryland on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Those same Colts fans think that Carson Wentz is going to put them over the top. SMH. Shake my head.
Well, listen. The Carson Wentz thing will always make me think of Sweaty Jared, like acting like it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to the Titans. And there's that. Now, I think there's a lot of Titans fans maybe a little bit too much that way.
I agree.
But I also I have a hard time with anyone who thinks he's going to come in and be a Pro Bowler. Too. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I think he was a tremendous player a couple years ago, and there's so much issues that were around him in Philly. I don't know. That's just they've got to be maybe of all these so-called contenders the hardest one to pin down, right?
I would think so. A lot of it depends largely entirely on him and what version of Carson Wentz you're going to see once we get kicked off here in a few weeks with the Colts. When we come back, we'll introduce our poll question of the day surrounding the Tennessee Titans, the acquisition of Julio Jones. What does it mean for the big picture in the AFC? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Got a loaded show for you here today. We'll be joined by David Beauclair at 7 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on Julio Jones to the Titans. Former NFL Falcons tight end Jacob Tammy joining the show at 8 o'clock. And then, as always, our weekly visit with Charles Robinson with Yahoo Sports at 9 o'clock. So a lot to get to on the Julio Jones front today. And speaking of Julio Jones, let's introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. And today's question is this. Following the Titans' acquisition of Julio Jones, do you believe that they can beat the Kansas City Chiefs in a playoff game? Yes or no? Joe, we are very early in the voting process. So far, 68% say yes, they believe the Titans can beat the Kansas City Chiefs in a playoff game. 32% say no. And there have been some interesting responses so far. Coach Seth Luttrell pointing out that, yes, if the first-round pick is as good as people expect he is, I think we'll be okay. And the upgrades we made defensively. And then some people say, the homers are back on this poll result so far, with 68% saying, yes, the Titans can beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, yeah, Strauss says homers are back, LOL. I would say, like, if the question was will, that would be very homerish. But, I mean, look, like, if you force me to vote in this poll, can? Sure. I mean, it's one game in the playoffs. Can they? Yeah, would I pick them to? Probably not, because it's still Patty Mahomes on the other side there, and it's hard to expect to beat him.
Patrick, his family will get upset with you if you call him Patty.
Sorry, it's all those years of calling Patrick Waugh, Patty Roy.
Patty Roy.
That guy, you know, the maestro on the other side, it's hard to expect it. I expect them to go to the Super Bowl. I expect the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl the next, like, 6 years in a row. Will they? Probably not. They'll probably get picked off a couple times in there. So, you ask me, can the Titans go win a playoff game in Kansas City? I mean, we're just assuming it'll be in Kansas City, right? Because they're going to go 15-2.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can. So, I don't think these people are homers.
Strauss. I don't think so either. I mean, look, that's why you go make a move like this, right? To bring Julio Jones in, yes, they can. Now, to your point, I think it's going to take a lot of things that'll go right. I mean, you got to have Caleb Farley come in and be an impact right away. As we know, Caleb Farley not scared of Tyreek Hill. Made that very clear in his comments pre-draft with Chris Collinsworth. So he's not scared of Tyreek Hill. That's a good thing to have on your side.
Press him.
Going into Kansas City. Press him the whole time. But this is why you go make a move to get Julio Jones, and I think you brought this up yesterday, and I agree. I mean, no matter how good your defense is, unless it's Tampa Bay from last year and you're just overwhelming with your pass rush.
Well, against a banged up offensive line.
I mean, it was a perfect storm last year, and, you know, the mystical powers of Tom Brady, everything that goes along with that. You're going to have to score some points to beat Kansas City. Like, you're going to have to get into the 30s to beat Kansas City and this is what this offense is now designed to do. And we talked about it. Like, if you're a defense and you try to completely shut down Derrick Henry, I mean, it's obvious what teams have tried to do to varying degrees of success. It's been very rare that they've been able to do it. But Baltimore, to their credit last year in the playoffs, they were able to do it. And they shut down Derrick Henry, and the Titans didn't have much of an answer outside of that. I mean, A.J. Brown, you know, he had his moments, and I think, you know, Tannehill missed him on a play where he was wide open streaking down the sideline that maybe makes the difference in the game at that point. But certainly the Titans, if you get into a game like that again, I think you're much more equipped to handle that this year with A.J. Brown on one side and with Julio Jones on the other and with Josh Reynolds wherever he's going to line up at this point. Like, I feel a ton better about the Titans being able to handle that if a team commits to trying to slow down Derrick Henry at this point. So, yeah, I think they absolutely can go in there and win. Again, it's going to take a lot of things to go right. But I think if you can get your defense to a point where it can just get you a couple of stops, this offense should be good enough to be right there with Kansas City.
Yeah, and I think it's worth bringing up every time we get into these things like last year to this year. A big thing that you have in these matchups, as long as things go well, is that you have one of your, maybe your most talented player non-skill back. That's why you pay him so much money. I mean, Taylor Lewan is not there last year. Change the offense. They still were very good. They figured it out. I mean, I think that's the most impressive thing about what Arthur Smith did last year is maintaining the production even after losing that. But if you go watch the Titans early in the year last year, I thought there were some incredible instances of drop-back situations where Tannehill just had all day. And, you know, you can't give him that if you're a defense. And it was very different in the second half of the season. You know, they had some stuff they couldn't do anymore. And, of course, Jonnu Smith is one of those things that changed. But that's a big deal. And the offensive line, I mean, that's where you get a second-round pick here. If he works out, then, man, this offense has got a lot of things going for it.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Heidi from Dixon texting in saying, we already could, otherwise why play the game, but using the Joe Rexroad best of 10 rule, we win 3 out of 10 now against the Chiefs instead of just one time out of 10.
That's not bad. That's not bad. So before this, it was one of, I don't know that I even, I think before this I might have gone to 2.
Okay. What is it now? Is it 5?
It's not 5. No, it's definitely not 5. Is it 4? Is that going a little high?
Probably.
Probably a little high. So, yeah, maybe you're, maybe, so that's, and if it's only going 2 to 3, how much of a needle mover is this? Maybe.
That's what I was going
to
ask you.
Well, I'm going back around to Jared. I'm with you, Jared. How dare John Robinson do this? You're fired! But that might be it. It's 1 or 2, and now it's, I'll say this, to be wishy-washy, 1 or 2 up to 3 or 4. But probably more like 3, right? 3 out of 10.
What?
Sure. Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5?
It's not 5.
Okay.
I will be very strong at it. It's not 5.
Okay.
It's probably 3. Yeah, I maybe 1 to 3. Maybe I'll just go back around to Heidi. You're right. I just never should have doubted you.
Just that was remember. A lot of numbers just got thrown out there in that segment. I like it.
Whenever we can deal with math on this show. Also, it's Foo Fighters.
Yes. Thank you. What a time. Ron, I mean, on the text line. Go
well,
ahead.
I mean, when you look back to the AFC Championship game, they couldn't breathe on Mahomes.
Yep.
So as much of a great thing it is that they got Julio in a game like that against the Chiefs, how many times can you put Mahomes on his butt? Can Dupree wreak havoc? Can Harold Landry get there? Can Autry get there? Simmons? If they can at least make life difficult for Mahomes on a couple of drives – and maybe force an interception, then I feel a lot better about their chances in one game. And a lot of people are bringing up that, you know, even with this trade that the Titans wouldn't beat KC, there's no guarantee that your road to a Super Bowl would have to go through KC. Yep. We see things all the time in the playoffs that are unexpected, that you might be on the opposite side of the bracket, from the Chiefs, and then someone upsets them in the divisional round, and then all of a sudden you're hosting an AFC championship game.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, look, no one else in the AFC should feel like they're going to be like Kansas City should win the AFC still, okay? And I don't think there's anything that any of these teams could have done that's going to change that because of the guy at the most important position. But I think the Titans have moved up in the next tier. And, yeah, you're right. Look, it does bring me back to, like, the Clowney signing, because that's – I remember writing it. It was like, remember that play where Mahomes – why? What if Clowney's on the field? You know, who knows? But to your point, they just paid Bud Dupree a ton of money to be that guy. So there's so much of the Titans' defense that's going to dictate how this all goes that we don't know. But I do feel like if this team had to get into a bunch of up and down – 40-point type games, they can play however you want them to play now.
Yeah, I mean, you're equipped to do that. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. Got some thoughts to get to on the text line as well. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Can you make the case for the Titans being number two in the AFC? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The Tennessee Titans right now, because of this trade, with all due respect to Indianapolis, they are your clubhouse leaders to win this division. It's theirs to lose. They've got to get better on defense. That was part of their problem last year. They couldn't generate a pass rush. That was part of their problem last year. They got to work on that. But who in the hell is going to be able to cover both A.J. Brown and Julio Jones outside and then be prepared for the bowling ball that is number 22 coming downhill off of a 2,000-yard season?
That was Rich Eisen breaking down the Tennessee Titans and their offense now with Julio Jones in the mix. As he points out, who's going to be able to cover A.J. Brown and Julio Jones while also dealing with Derrick Henry? And is that enough to push the Titans over the top in the AFC? Joe, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark texting in, guys, Jones does not make the Titans beat Kansas City. They need to win the division or wild card first. Jones does not give the Titans any extra wins at all.
Well, actually, Mark, they need to play their first preseason game first. So then they have to play
which is in Atlanta,
the next
by the way.
Week. And yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, we're obviously talking, Mark, about a hypothetical game here. So
what do you think
we
about
– there is nothing on the schedule that says they are playing the Chiefs in the playoffs. What's that?
What do you think about Julio Jones not giving the Titans any extra wins at all?
I don't know. Maybe he costs them wins, you know? Maybe anything's possible. A year from now, we may be sitting here like, gosh, just like Clowney, this Julio signing. No guarantees.
Can you imagine if, like, the Julio signing doesn't work out and – John Robinson goes and tries and signs like another free agent? Be like, stop, don't do it. Nope.
Not me.
You're not drafted in the first round. You're not drafted or getting any more free agents.
Keep taking shots, man.
Yeah,
I'm with shoot it. Shoot or shoot.
That's right. I'm all for it.
You miss 100% of those you don't take. Yeah.
Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I mean, I think it could make a 3-win difference. I mean, you know, it fundamentally changes what they are offensively from an offense I still thought would maybe be very good, even with losing Davis and Jonnu Smith. Still, a lot to like about this offense before they got Julio Jones, to now something that just really is rare in this game.
Yeah.
I keep going through. And I'm talking, Roger Craig, Jerry Rice, John Taylor. There's something that came to mind. Roger Craig was a very good running back. People never talk about him. He was very good. 1,500 yards in 88. Obviously, Jerry Rice, I think the best receiver ever.
Yeah.
John Taylor was good. Now, John Taylor was probably a guy who kind of benefited
from Jerry Rice.
You know, that's the thing. Like, it's hard to find instances of two guys like this with a back like that. Very hard.
Yeah.
So, doesn't guarantee anything, but, man, if you don't think that this could change their bottom line, I think you're underrating this.
So it was interesting because when Julio Jones, the trade was announced, the Super Bowl odds for the Titans moved pretty heavily. And I heard Chase McCabe talking about this yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase as well. think on BetMGM, they went from plus 4,000 to win the Super Bowl, so 40-1 odds, to plus 2,500. I mean, that's a pretty massive jump in terms of Super Bowl odds for the Titans with Julio Jones coming in there. Now, the interesting thing, as Chase pointed out yesterday, is in the division, I think they were plus 110. So the Colts were the favorite in the division. With Julio Jones, they moved to like plus 105. So not much movement there.
In the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, it's a toss-up between the Colts and the Titans, both at plus 110.
Yeah.
And the Colts were only a slight favorite before the trade.
Yeah.
I was very surprised to not see the Titans, because that could be like the overreaction. Everyone puts money on the Titans, and then, you know, they become the favorite.
Sure.
Very surprised to see the Titans not be the odds-on favorite right now.
Well, especially when the Super Bowl odds changed so dramatically with that one move.
So Vegas thinks maybe in the regular season they muddle around a little bit. When they get to the playoffs, they
turn it on.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. And obviously, Vegas, you know, these odds are always – you're trying to get betting on both sides of something, right? So that's always worth keeping in mind in this stuff. But, yeah, I would have expected a little bit more of a jump on the division front there.
People love the Indianapolis Colts, man. They do. That's what I've learned throughout this summer and this process so far. People love them some Colts.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Like, think back even to last year with Philip Rivers coming in and the poll at The Athletic. Like, how many people picked the Colts?
I was one of, like, three who picked the Titans.
Like, that may change now with Julio Jones because you've got a star, you know, a star player coming in. And I imagine, like, when the media starts doing their preseason picks for the AFC South, I think with Julio coming in, you'll probably see a lot of love to the Titans. But people, they love voting for the Colts in these polls. It's something.
That actually brings up a good idea. You know, I think I'll ask all of our NFL people. Maybe I'll just do my own little poll of them. Or I guess I could wait and see how they vote and just ask, like, would you – whoever voted for the Titans, were you going to vote for the Colts?
Pre-Julio.
I would be willing to bet that it was going to be very close to last year, which is like overwhelming Colts.
I agree.
And I would be willing to bet right now that more people will vote for the Titans than the Colts. That's my guess. But that may have to do a little investigation there.
Here's another.
I'll send some slacks out.
You should.
Here's another curious one. To be the number one seed in the AFC for the playoffs.
Yep.
Did you see this on FanDuel?
I did not.
Titans are plus 1,700. And they are behind the Colts, the Broncos, the Dolphins, and the Chargers in those odds.
See, some of
these, you got to be thinking that they're getting Rodgers, right, if it's the Broncos.
But why would you have that? So that's the thing. I feel like some of these odds are like just no one – it's like you didn't sweep the floor in the last week. You know what I mean? Like just haven't even like gotten to it yet.
Yes.
Like, that doesn't make sense.
Like 17-1?
Jump on that.
If the offense is dynamite?
Jump on
it. Pretty good value, man.
I mean, the Colts.
Not telling you what to do.
The Colts, Broncos, and Dolphins are all, and Chargers. Colts, Broncos, Dolphins, Chargers are all 14-1, and the Titans are at 17-1.
That's wild.
That makes me nervous about Aaron Rodgers. Do they know something?
There you go. Vegas always knows. I mean, that's because
the Dolphins.
Yeah,
that one I don't get.
Well, I get that more than the Broncos. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, that's. The only way they would even be anywhere near that is if they're getting Rodgers.
Well,
right?
If they get Rodgers, they are not.
Well, sure. Then that changes everything.
They go like 5-1 or 6-1.
Sure. Right. So why would they be in the middle right now? Like, because they might get him?
Yes.
Is that it?
Probably.
I guess. Okay.
I mean, also the Chargers. Like, I love Justin Herbert as much as anybody, but the Chargers?
They got some work to do. Yeah.
Yeah, they have a pretty good roster, but yeah, that's a great value. I mean, you think about Patrick Mahomes misses a month with some injury. It's all there for anyone for the taking, you know?
Interesting. Mark follows up with the point of Julio not giving the Titans any extra wins at all. Get two Joneses for the defense, and then we can talk. I mean, they have completely changed their defense.
Defense
is totally different.
Right. Like, I don't know if it's going to work, but, like, yes, this whole, like, but what about the defense? Well, it's a completely different defense.
Yeah. We have no clue what it's going to look like.
We'll see if the choices were good. I mean, to me, that's a bigger, like, if you want to talk about, and we're going to talk about this later in the show, the whole, like, John Robinson, pressure on him with all this stuff. To me, it's, okay, what about his choices on defense? You know, that's the bigger question on him. Like, I'm, no matter what happens with Julio Jones, I will not change from golf clap that you did this move. But the defense is going to be a huge part of what they do, and we'll see. But my gosh, they have done stuff. They got a whole bunch of different dudes out there this year.
Right. And look, I've got as many questions as anybody about this defense. I mean, you're taking a guy in the first round that we have no clue whether or not he's going to be able to step on the field and play at the first part of this season. So, I mean, look, there's a risk there. You've given $16 million a year to a guy that just tore his ACL to come rush the passer. There's a lot of risk on this defense. But to sit here and just act like the defense is the same as last year and nothing's been done, it's just not accurate. Now, it may not work. They could end up being worse on defense than they were last year. That'd be pretty hard, but they could.
In some ways, that'd be amazing.
That would be amazing. But I think if I had to bet right now, I would go with probably going to be a little bit better on defense than you were last year, based on just it's hard to get any worse.
You would think it's probably good for them that Kevin Johnson retired before.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that yesterday.
But before going Jonathan Joseph for a month and then being cut.
Here's another puzzling one in the sports books. The over-under on FanDuel for regular season wins is still at 9. Oof, you can get Titans over 9 right now.
And remember, it's 17 games.
Yeah.
Again, jump on these things. Not telling you what to do.
But jump on these things.
Yeah, but if you so choose to engage in these things, engage.
Might be busy at break.
Maybe so. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Travis in Coopertown texting in. Looking to the future a bit, just think how good it's going to be to have Julio in the locker room to help develop and work with our new young receivers. Talking about A.J. Brown, Des Fitzpatrick in there as well. Certainly doesn't hurt to have Julio Jones in there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that for just as a guy to watch, for one thing. And, of course, A.J. Brown has been studying him for years, and that seemed to probably have a positive impact on his game. And of course, A.J. Brown's moved into that situation where he can be a mentor now, too. I mean, he's – I think A.J. Brown's a natural leader also. So, yeah, that's – I hadn't thought about that aspect of it, but it's never a bad thing to have great players at any position and what that can do for the young guys at that position.
When we come back, we'll be joined by David Beauclair from SI.com. Get his thoughts on Julio Jones to the Titans. How does that shake up the landscape in the AFC? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.